This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Emotions ran high as hundreds of San Diego-based sailors returned to loved ones following a 10-month deployment to the Persian Gulf. Tom Riopelle reports.
Family and friends cheered, waved American flags and banners as the sailors returned from the war aboard the USS Abraham Lincoln. Sailor Chris Delphitt says the crew is proud of the job they accomplished.
Well, we pulled together as a team, and we did some of the best any Navy unit has ever done.
The Lincoln will leave San Diego tomorrow for its home port in Everett, Washington. Tom Riopelle, Coronado, California.
With the Iraqi war on the wane, President Bush is shifting the spotlight to the struggling national economy. Bush went to California's economically troubled Silicon Valley to promote high technology and tax cuts. With unemployment up to 6%, Bush pitched his economic stimulus proposal that called for hundreds of billions of dollars in additional tax cuts. He pressed Congress to pass a bold economic recovery package so people can find work. The Bush proposal is stuck on Capitol Hill and prospects for passage are uncertain. Bush calls it a robust pro-growth jobs package. Democrats say it mainly helps the rich and will do little to jumpstart the economy.
Are you a prescription plan member who uses Clarinex, Zyrtec, or Allegra for allergy relief? Then you should know that many plans are changing the coverage level on your nasal allergy medicine, which might cost you more money. Don't let nasal allergy relief cost you more this year. Just ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray 50 micrograms. Flonase is approved to relieve the nasal symptoms from pollen, dust mites, pet dander, pollution, smoke, and strong odors. More triggers than any leading allergy medicine. Comparable efficacy and safety among Flonase and these products has not been established. For best results, use Flonase daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. To learn more about Flonase, see our ad in Fitness Magazine. Visit www.flonase.com or call 1-800-FLONASE. If the copayment for your allergy medicine is costing you more money, ask your doctor if Flonase is right for you. All it takes is Flonase.
The nation's longest-serving death row inmate is set to be executed in Georgia next week. On Friday, Carl Isaac's lawyers made an appeal to spare his life. Isaac's was convicted for the murders of six members of the Ned Alday family in 1973 in South Georgia. In remarks to the Georgia Pardons and Paroles Board, attorney Jack Martin said Isaac's is, quote, far from perfect, but he's not the devil. Martin asked the board to consider a life sentence without parole for Isaacs, who is set to die by lethal injection next Tuesday evening. Relatives of the slain Alday family also met with the Pardons and Parole Board, urging that the death sentence be carried out for the execution-style killings. The New York Times has apologized for a grave breach of journalistic ethics, saying one of its reporters has resigned over indications he may have fabricated or plagiarized at least part of a front-page story. Executive editor Howell Raines said supervisors have been unable to determine what original reporting took place in a story about the pain of a family of a soldier who was missing in the Iraqi war and later reported dead. The story was written by Jason Blair and published Saturday using wording similar to a story from the San Antonio Express News.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
The FBI has announced DNA test results prove the boy dropped off at a Chicago-area hospital last week is not that of missing North Carolina boy Tristan Buddy Myers. The results from DNA testing has determined the child known as Eli Quick is not Tristan Buddy Myers. Thomas Nair of the Chicago FBI says the boy's DNA does not match.
Our first hurdle was, are these two children identical? They are not.
Eli came to the attention of the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services after he was brought to a Chicago hospital by Ricky Quick, the man who claims to have raised him since he was an infant. After examining the boy, hospital officials called child welfare officials after suspecting he had been neglected. Stocks ended the week with an up day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 127 points to 8582. The Nasdaq rose 30 points to 1502. And the S&P 500 rose 13 points to 930. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Long. like us with today's Car Clinic Minute. A picture's worth a thousand words. So picture this. A toilet bowl. You know what car part is similar to that household favorite? Battery? Gas tank? No, those won't float. But when I come back, I'll tell you what does.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about somesies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
What's the automotive equivalent of your toilet bowl? Your carburetor. Both have little floats that control levels of liquid. Ever lifted the top of a toilet tank and bent the rod to stop water from flowing? Carburetors have similar float valves that adjust fuel level. In toilets, the excess water streams harmlessly to the sewer. But in carburetors, surplus fuel flows into the motor, causing engine damage, decreased gas mileage, and air pollution. All good reasons to include carburetor checks in your annual inspections. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
And you're swallowing all life's lies.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Well, good evening. True Seekers, Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. I have to tell you, we are experiencing some really bad thunderstorms and hail and all sorts of high winds and nasty stuff here in the metro Atlanta area. So if you hear a crackle and a pop and we're gone, our engineering cohorts in Detroit will immediately put on a rebroadcast, probably of last night's program. Just wanted to let you know. All right? Program today produced, or tonight produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us, as always. The phone number here is 800-825-5937, 800-TALK-YES. Or you can email MikeDMalloy at earthlink.net. Quote of the day from Aldous Huxley. Dictators can always consolidate their tyranny by an appeal to patriotism. Dictators can always consolidate their tyranny by an appeal to patriotism. Yeah. Who sent me this? Who sent this in? John sent this in. James Randi. You know who James Randi is? The psychic debunker. You know, James Randi is one that proves that psychics and fortune tellers and spiritualists of all shades are nothing but frauds. You've heard of James Randi. At his website, it's being reported that Richard Roberts, he's the faith-healing son of Oral Roberts, right? Richard Roberts has decided to postpone his planned faith-healing visit to Toronto. Seems he was concerned for the potential health risk from SARS to his traveling entourage of students. And what's his name? John Rice. Is it just me, or is there some kind of irony here? If he's a faith healer, why doesn't he just go and make it go? Oh, never mind. One of my favorite Oral Roberts moments was, years ago. What, 10 years ago? 12 years ago? When he was he's trying to build one of those edifices to his false Christianity, and Oral Roberts was. And he had milked the terminally faithful for just about all he could milk them for, just millions upon millions of dollars. But he was still a few million short, so Oral Roberts went on his nationally syndicated television program, and he said that God, Jesus, one of the two, were going to call him home if he didn't get the money. Do you remember that? Oh, my God. And then Saturday Night Live had a sketch that said that God denied holding him hostage, that it was, you know, that Oral Roberts was a liar. But you never know about these people, do you? God will call me home if you don't give me some money. Rick Santorum had what is being described by the New York Times as a heated exchange with four parents of gay children. Matter of fact, in the article the Times published, they call it a fiery private exchange. It was last night. Rick Santorum of Pennsylvania and four parents of gay children. The meeting did not go well. And Rick Santorum, who has, of course, infuriated most decent human beings by likening homosexuality to incest and bigamy and bestiality, Santorum left the meeting with these four parents in such a hurry that he tripped over a chair. That's according to the parents. Now, you can see that, can't you? Huh? You can just see him trying to get the hell out of his office so fast that he trips over a chair. Melinda Waldo, a former constituent of Rick Santorum's, who now lives in New Jersey, said, "What we tried to do in this meeting was reach him on a human level, but we found no humanity there." Mrs. Waldo said that Rick Santorum was condescending, belligerent, argumentative, and arrogant. Well, Mrs. Waldo, with all due respect, you're talking to the third-ranking Republican in the Senate. It's Rick Santorum of Pennsylvania. Probably the stupidest man in the Senate. Now, he's not stupider than Bush. Bush takes that trophy. But Rick Santorum has been labeled. Who is it? Bob Kerry of Nebraska said when he first met. Now, I'm going to say a bad word here, but if you got kids around, get them away from the radio. But this was a quote from Senator Bob Kerry, who is no longer a senator. He resigned, of course, or something. I don't know. Bob Kerry of Nebraska. Anyway, when he first met Rick Santorum, here it comes. When he first met Rick Santorum, he said, Santorum, isn't that Latin for asshole? That's a quote from former Senator Bob Kerry. Not John Kerry, Bob Kerry. So anyway, here are these four parents of gay children meeting with Santorum. They expected to find humanity, according to one of the mothers who was there, and they found no humanity. What they found was condescension, belligerence, argumentativeness, and arrogance. Now, a spokeswoman for Mr. Santorum, Erica Clayton Wright, who was in the meeting, described the meeting as, quote, a very professional and polite exchange. She declined to give the New York Times details of the meeting, however, and she said, well, constituent meetings are private. Constituent meetings are private. The parents who met last night are members of PFLAG, Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. I'm sure you're familiar with that organization. It's an advocacy group. And so far, they had not spoken publicly about Rick Santorum. But these PFLAG members are in Washington to lobby lawmakers on issues like hate crimes and how to make schools a little bit safer for gay kids, you know, middle schoolers, teenagers, who screamed at fag, you fairy, you know, that kind of stuff. Don't you? Yeah, aren't kids wonderful? So this group from PFLAG, Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, are trying to lobby some of these members of the House and Senate. Yeah, good luck, guys and gals. Now, also present for this meeting was Mrs. Waldo's husband, a guy named Richard Waldo, a lifelong Republican, who said he voted twice for Rick Santorum. Eh? Too bad, Mr. Waldo. Too bad, Richard. If you voted twice for Santorum and you have a gay child, what can we sympathetic Americans say to you, pal? Eh? You're a Republican? You have gay children? Jesus, you must be out of your minds. Also at the meeting were two other constituents of the senator, Fran and Alan Kirshner of Philadelphia. Mrs. Kirshner said she spent much of last week telephoning Mr. Santorum's office to request a meeting, but she was told finally today that Senator Rick would see them for 10 minutes. get your asses in here and hurry up. Well, the meeting went on for 30 minutes, and it was fiery, according to the New York Times. Fiery. Ooh, the great lady calls it fiery. Until Rick fled his office, stumbling over a chair on the way out. The meeting ran 30 minutes, the parents said. The parents, Mrs. Kirshner said, insisted that the comments Rick Santorum had vomited onto into public discourse were hurtful to their children. One of the parents said, look, you know, what you said, you know, these are our kids. These are our kids, Senator Rick. They don't have sex with dogs. They don't commit incest. They're our children who happen to be gay. According to the parents, though, Mr. Santorum wanted to talk about legal terms, insisting that he was just arguing against a right to privacy. Against a right to privacy. Right? Rick Santorum sincere says, look, you know, I don't want to talk about your faggoty children. What I was talking about, there is no such thing as a right to privacy. Don't you understand? This is a United States senator. Well, it is a Republican. And to the Republican Party, you're damn right, truth seeker. You have no right to privacy. That is a liberal construct. It does not exist. Keep that in mind. Rick said his remarks had been taken out of context. Now, if you've seen the AP interview with the woman reporter who stopped and said, Senator, when I came in for this interview, I had no idea we were going to be talking about man on dog. I am really freaked. You see, the Associated Press published the entire transcript so that Rick couldn't say that his comments had been taken out of context. Well, it doesn't matter. He still says it. Anyway, as this argument went on between the four parents of gay children and the Mullah Muhammad Omar of Pennsylvania, Rick Santorum, finally, one of Rick's aides interrupted the session and said, Mr. Santorum has to leave. He's got to go vote on another law to make your little faggoty children even more of an outcast in this society. Don't you understand? The Bible says you should take your children and kill them. They're queers. Don't you understand that, you parents? You have children who are faggots and queers. Kill them. It says so in Leviticus. According to Mr. Kirshner, one of the parents, Rick Santorum, couldn't get out of the meeting fast enough. Have I mentioned tonight that I hate these people? I haven't? Okay, well, consider it said. Joe in Austin sent this to me. It kind of blew by all of us, I guess. It's posted at whitehouse.gov. This was back in 2001, May 1st. No, it was before May 1st. Public law 85-529 was passed by the Republican Congress. And it designated May 1st of each year as Loyalty Day. And Bush issued a proclamation. I encourage all Americans to join me this day in reaffirming our allegiance to our blessed nation. Now, therefore, I, George W. Bush, President of the United States, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and laws of the United States of America, do hereby proclaim May 1st, 2001, and subsequent May 1st as Loyalty Day. I call upon the people of the United States in support of this national observance. And as Joe points out, in 1933, Adolf Hitler declared May 1st Loyalty Oath Day. I know you're getting tired of these little comparisons between Bush and Hitler. Well, so am I. But they are there. What are we supposed to do? Ignore them? Huh? All right, quick break. We'll be back. All right, it's Friday night. None of you folks are going to call in tonight. That's fine with me. I have a whole bunch of stuff to talk about here. But if you want to join, the number is 800-TALK-YES.
You can't love who you want to love in times like these. The siren of the ambulance, the deadpan of the cops, shot to mark the outline where the boy first drops. Beware the Holy Trinity, church and state and law. For every death the virus gets more deadly than before. Homophobia, the worst disease. You can't love who you want to love in times like these. Homophobia, the worst disease. You can't love who you want to love in times like these.
Yoo-hoo, it's us. Your joints here. Listen, the aches, the stiffness, that's our way of saying we need help. There's a coupon for OsteoBiflex in this Sunday's paper. Over time, OsteoBiflex helps joints become more flexible, and they're a proud sponsor of the Arthritis Walk. Walking comfortably, that'd be nice. So, look for the coupon in Sunday's paper, then get OsteoBiflex and put some life back in your joints. You'll be more comfortable and will be less bothered.
Free. Every day at Domino's, you get something free. A cheesy, gooey pizza and great taste, we guarantee.
Delivered hot,
fresh and steamy, you'll feel like you're in Waikiki. Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one-topping pizza free.
Right now at Domino's, it's 2-for-1 pizza days. Buy any large pizza at menu price, get a medium one-topping pizza free. What a deal.
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one-topping pizza free.
Get the door. It's 2-for-1 pizza days at Domino's. Limited time offer. Prices and terms may vary.
Quit smoking in 7 days? Now you can with Release HD, the all-natural homeopathic medicine now available without a prescription, designed to break your addiction to nicotine in just 7 days guaranteed. Listen to what internationally recognized Dr. Richard Cohen has to say about Release HD.
The beauty of the homeopathic medicine in the Release HD system is that it deals with the suffering, eases the withdrawal symptoms, and can take away the jitters. I strongly recommend Release HD to anyone who wants to quit smoking.
It's never too late to stop. The Release HD system goes to work immediately, stopping nicotine cravings, irritability, and withdrawals. Release HD is different from gums and patches because it works from the inside out, giving your body the nutrients it needs to break free. You can quit. Do it the easy way with Release HD.
Call Release HD now for your free trial offer. 1-800-519-5717 and quit smoking for good in 7 days guaranteed. Do it today with Release HD. 1-800-519-5717. That's 1-800-519-5717. Call now.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HD TV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Chris from New Mexico, welcome to Animal Talk. What's up?
I have a neighbor decided to release 12 piranha into a river up here in northern New Mexico. But I'm wondering, I think that's a crime, isn't it?
It's not a crime, but it's a dumb idea.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You don't want the fish cops coming after you. Let me know. Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, could South American piranha survive?
Not in northern New Mexico. And as soon as he dumped the fish in there, they went into shock. They were dead. Now, there are people who have released piranha in Florida, and they are in the canals. They are actually breeding and growing, and Florida is turning into the piranha state.
But would you blame me if I don't go wading for a little while?
Don't worry about it. The only problem is that if you go wading, wear waders, because if not, your lucky charms are not going to be the same size they were when you get out of the water.
Thank you for the visual. And, I'll talk to you later.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Spin Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Well, there's a couple of articles circulating now, MSNBC and Washington Monthly, about this, oh, God, William Bennett, you know, the author, the former Secretary of Education with who? Pappy Bush, Reagan, somebody. You know, the nation's scold, always lecturing Americans on our lapsed morality. This guy is an out-of-control gambler. Huh? According to MSNBC, his games of choice, video poker and slot machines, sum at $500 a pull. He has a revolving line of credit of at least $200,000 in four venues in Atlantic City and Las Vegas. He has bet millions of dollars over the last decade. This is reported at MSNBC.com and also reported at WashingtonMonthly.com. He's the former drug czar and secretary of education under Reagan and Bush. He doesn't have to even bring money when he shows up at a casino. More than 40 pages of internal casino documents provided to the Washington Monthly and Newsweek paint a picture of a gambler given the high roller treatment, including limos and tens of thousands of dollars in complimentary hotel rooms and other amenities. The other amenities will probably include hookers. In 1 2-month period, the documents show him wiring more than $1.4 million to cover losses at one casino. We're talking about William Bennett, the drug czar. This guy is a junkie of the highest order. You only pot smokers who have spent $1.4 million in one 18-month stretch? Bennett, in the same 18-month stretch, Bennett visited a number of casinos for 2 or 3 days at a time. And he must have been worried about news of his habit leaking out. His customer profile at one casino lists an address that corresponds to Empower.org, the website of Empower America, the group Bennett co-chairs. But typed across the form are the words, "No contact at residence or business." You want to hear some of his losses? They've been substantial. According to one casino, on July 12th of last year, Bennett lost $340,000 at Caesars in Atlantic City. On April 5th and 6th, he lost more than $500,000 at the Bellagio in Las Vegas. Some casino estimates put his total losses over the past decade at more than $8 million. A casino source who has witnessed Bennett at the high-limit slots in the wee hours says, you know, there's a term in the trade for this kind of gambler. We call them losers. Oh, Jesus! Oh, my God! Oh, stop me! Kathy, quick, tie an anchor to my feet. I'm about to float out of the studio. William Bennett, drug czar, secretary of education, is an out-of-control junkie gambler, sucked into the pits of hell by his addiction. Our Boston bureau chief is checking in. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Chief. I was just going to touch on that very subject.
Oh, my God. You know, the story at WashingtonMonthly.com is bad enough. But,
I've got it up on my screen right now.
But check out MSNBC, Jonathan Alter's a story. The URL, here it is, msnbc.com/news/908430.asp. Check it out, pal.
Here's the Washington Monthly sentence that I love the best is, quote, Bennett, who gambled throughout Clinton's impeachment, has continued this pattern in subsequent years. On July 12th of last year, for instance, Bennett lost $340,000
right
to Caesars Boardwalk Regency.
Right. All these people I'm gonna have to get the gun out and shoot an awful lot of varmints over the weekend. I mean, God help the varmints that live in the woods behind my house. There's gonna be a bloodbath this weekend. I've got to work this stuff out somehow. Let me put you on hold, Matthew. I'll come right back. We got a quick break here. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Bill Bennett, huh? Drug czar, Department of Education head, a junkie, an absolute out of control, multi-million dollar Jones junkie. Talking about saving souls and all the time leeching. Dealing in debt and stealing in the name of the Lord. Mama just hold her head and say, Papa was a rolling stone, my son.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Tensions are running high among immigrant workers from countries in Central America working in the United States on temporary visas, as tens, if not hundreds of thousands, may find out in a matter of days whether deportation is in their future. Some 347,000 Honduran, Nicaraguan, and Salvadoran workers are in the U.S. on temporary visas, and for many, those visas expire in July. The rest expire in September. The government could renew the visas, but it must announce its intent to do so at least 60 days before the visas expire. That gives the government until Monday to notify the workers, and so far, they've heard nothing.
Justice for janitors was the May Day rallying cry for workers around the U.S. yesterday. Tens of thousands of custodians saw their union contracts expire this week, and some could be headed to picket lines soon. The union representing 5,000 Silicon Valley janitors has set a strike date of May 17th because of stalled contract talks. And janitors in Portland, Oregon led a march of about 500 through their city. Although their old contract expired yesterday, union negotiator Marcia Suttenberg says there's enough progress being made at the bargaining table to merit a two-month contract extension.
We're totally happy if the contract just come to the table and offer our people decent wages and a benefit that they can will allow them to take their kids to the doctor. Damn, we've got a deal.
Janitor Felipe De Jesus rejects the notion that his employers can't afford to pay him a living wage and provide his family with health insurance.
They're saying they don't have enough money, but they're the ones hanging on to all the money and it doesn't come down onto all the workers.
Portland's janitors hope to have a new deal hashed out by the end of June. Otherwise, they say they'll strike as a last resort.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
Bill Bennett, how about this story? AM sent this in. Couldn't Mr. Morales have given some of those millions to charity rather than the one-armed bandit or red or black? Yeah, the story that is, boom, MSNBC, WashingtonMonthly.com, Bill Bennett, the moral scold of this country, former drug czar, former head of the Department of Education, worked for Pappy and worked for Reagan. He is an utter loser. Millions upon millions of dollars at gambling casinos all over the country. Has an open line of credit, $200,000. Doesn't even have to show up with money. He gets all the amenities, which includes hookers. Come on. High rollers understand. When you reach a certain level, your food is free, your hotel is free, your transportation is free, and the girls are free. That's just the way it goes. But we're talking about this with our Boston Bureau Chief, Matthew.
I'm sniffing, Mike, because I have a cold, really.
Oh, well, you don't have SARS, do you?
You know.
You haven't been to China in the past week or so, have you?
Oh, my God.
Or Toronto.
I just want to jump off a cliff.
Let me tell you something about Scape. You probably know this. Ted just emailed in and reminded me. He says, I wonder if Richard Mellon Scape bankrolled Bennett's addiction. Scape describes Bennett as a close friend who sits on the board of one of his foundations.
Oh, absolutely.
Bennett is a Heritage Foundation fellow, and his Empower America is an adjunct of Heritage, which is funded by Richard Mellon Scape, Coors, the Amways, and various corporations. I wonder how much of the money that goes to the funding, winds up in the pockets of the casinos.
Who the hell can lose $340K at Caesar's Palace, for Christ's sake?
Who can lose $1.4
million?
I mean, my God, here he is, Bill Bennett. Oh, Jesus.
Don't use a condom, Mike. Don't fall for that condom propaganda. It's abstinence.
Is that what it is?
That's it.
Well, what did Nancy say? Just say no. Hey, Bill, Mr. Bennett, Mr. Secretary of Education, just say no.
Just say no.
Oh,
absolutely.
My God. Oh, God, I hate these people.
I do, too, and I'm getting absolutely and completely fed up with the entire populace, to be honest with you. Hey, I was going to talk about Bennett, but you've covered it. You heard about the expanded CIA powers, I hope.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was deep six temporarily by some of the Democrats, but, and it came directly from Bush. It did not come out of the Republican-controlled House or Senate. It came directly from Bush. What the story was, where in the hell is it here? It was to...
I've got the Seattle PI up.
Yeah, New York Times had something too.
Yeah.
They wanted to give the Bush administration and leading Senate Republicans sought to give the Central Intelligence Agency and the Pentagon far-reaching new powers to demand personal and financial records on people of the United States as part of intelligence and terrorism operations. It's just unbelievable. Dianne Feinstein succeeded in getting the provision pulled from this bill.
Temporarily.
Yeah, temporarily. Mm-hmm. I mean, these sons of bitches, I'll tell you, I've never seen or heard anything like this, Matt. You know, when somebody says, oh, Malloy, you know, you're leaning too hard on this Hitler-Bush comparison, this fascism thing. Oh, no, we're not. Oh, no, we're not.
Well, let me give you a little bit of good news for what it's worth, and it's only secondhand, and it may not mean much. But for those listeners out there that don't know, my father is a retired senior CIA intelligence officer. And I discussed this story with him a couple of nights ago, and he has contacted some people that are still within the agency, and the CIA is about ready to revolt on a number of levels.
That would be nice, wouldn't
it? Well, the whistleblowers that are going to come out, unfortunately, are probably not going to come out until after Bush is gone from office because they don't want to lose their jobs. They don't want to get thrown in jail. I can't say that I necessarily blame them, but the intelligence officers that are within the agency today, like Bush less than you and I do.
Really?
For a number of reasons, yes.
Hmm.
And my father included, and my father voted for Bush.
Right.
So there is a semi-silver lining, although none of them are stupid enough to come out prior to his downfall. So.
Well, maybe they can do a Pentagon Papers thing and just start releasing to...
I wouldn't be at all surprised.
Start releasing to the Post or the Times or Salon or Common Dreams or
mm-hmm.
somebody.
Mm-hmm.
The inside info about what is happening.
Unfortunately, it's not going to happen until the SOB is gone from public office. Unfortunately, and I don't think there is. I mean, even Colleen Rowley and these other people from the FBI, they've done all they can, and I think they've realized that they're going to be beaten. So it's going to be after the fact.
Well, in the meantime, we have American Idol on, what is it, Kathy, on Fox? It's on Fox. We have American Idol. We can watch that. And thank God for even though it's in reruns, thank God for The Sopranos. I love that. And, why bother with this stuff?
I guess there's no need for any of us to fret, huh?
Not a bit. Hey, listen, get well, pal.
Hey, I'm doing good and still listening to you, and I just want to say hi and thank you, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, brother.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Our Boston bureau chief there. Matt about Harry sent this to me. Mike, yesterday's photo op in which George Bush attempted to impersonate an Air Force pilot is deeply disturbing. It is similar to the photo op at Ground Zero in which Bush spoke to police and firefighters with a bullhorn. There is something macabre and sick about the way Karl Rove has Bush using the dead of September 11th, dead servicemen and women, and dead Iraqis as stage props. The smiling photos of Bush remind me of a kid at an amusement park rather than an American president preparing to address the nation. I keep thinking, Mad About Harry writes, that the day will come when reporters will remember to do their jobs and expose this fraud. But I am now very afraid that this day will never come. I seriously believe that we may never come back from this abyss. Well, you know, that's kind of what I've been talking about in this program lately, and you know, catching a lot of flack, and okay, I can take the flack, you know, that's no problem, I'm a talk show host. But I've been catching a lot of flack, a lot of emails from people saying, you know, it sounds like you're just a defeatist, you know, you're giving up. No, I'm not giving up. But reality is reality, truth seekers. This country is in the hands, in the clutches of neo-fascists who are turning this country into a militarized fascist state. Now, we can sit here and bitch about it and whine about it and talk about it, try to expose it, or we can do something about it.
Well, what can we do, Mike?
Well, I just constantly make sure that I am prepared. You understand what I'm saying? Sure you do. Tom is calling from Marietta, Georgia. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine, sir. Hey, listen, those storms, did they roll through Marietta yet?
Well, there was some lightning just about 5-10 minutes ago.
When we started the program, we talked to Detroit, where the program's engineered and fed to the satellite and the internet, that we may be blown off the air because it is hell where we're broadcasting from.
Yes,
right now.
I can imagine. There are some pretty big boomers out there.
But that's not why you called.
Not really.
Okay.
I actually had a few things, but Bill Bennett sort of really inspired me to pick up the phone and call. I mean, this was the guy who wrote the Book of Values.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
Book of Virtues.
Right. Yes, yes, yes.
I happened to see him about 3 weeks ago on C-SPAN with some Heritage Foundation group speaking in front of a college group. And there was some kid up there. He was really one of these sincere, you know, guys. I saw a lot of myself in this kid, you know, trying to stand up and really, and Bennett just really was so condescending to this guy. Just, oh, I know where you're coming from, and
right.
You know, each it's really sad in a way. I'm still a compassionate liberal in the sense I can see some sadness, but these people have got a self-destructive bent in them that just won't quit.
Well, God bless you for the compassion. I'm so far past the compassion at this point, Tom. I hate to admit that because it's a moral failure on my part. But I feel no compassion for these people. I wish every one of them would just totally crash and burn. I'd like to find out that George Bush likes kiddie porn. I'd like to find out that Dick Cheney is a closet drunk. I'd like to find out that Dick Cheney may be a closet drunk. I'd like to find out that Rumsfeld is into bestiality. You know, I feel absolutely no compassion for them at all. I respect the fact that you can see the you know, kind of the dark side of this, and it's a moral failure on their part, and you know, they should rise above it. But I'm just beyond that. And
well, you certainly don't want them in positions of authority. And I think Bennett, wasn't he like the Secretary of Commerce or something? He had a cabinet level position.
Well, he was Secretary of Education.
Oh, that's right, Secretary of Education.
Right, and then he was the drug czar. Is there anything more hysterical than this addict being the drug czar, overseeing a system that locks people up for smoking a joint, and this filthy hypocrite spends hundreds of thousands of dollars on gambling? Of course, gambling's legal, and smoking a doobie isn't. So yeah. I guess that's where the moral distinction is made by Mr. Virtue.
It's unbelievable. Well, one of the other things that your previous caller, and by the way, I listen to your show all the time, and you've got excellent callers. They're just tremendous.
I've just got the best audience in talk radio.
There's no doubt about it.
And even the ones who don't call, that email, I mean, it's just incredible. I'm just very lucky to have this kind of an audience.
There is a real brouhaha I've been reading about between the CIA and the Pentagon over who they want to try to control Iraq. And again, this is going to be very self-destructive. The previous callers seem to think that it wouldn't last, but I got a feeling that some of these people, they're egos just can't restrain themselves. There's going to be some real big infighting here coming up real soon.
Yeah, I'm certainly looking forward to it. Like I say, I just want to see the whole thing implode. I don't want to see anything bad happen to my country. I don't want to see anything bad happen to my society. But I want to see as much badness happen to this Bush crime family as humanly possible.
I'm confident it's coming. Now, one last thing. Did you happen to mention yesterday in Bush's speech that he talked about the four freedoms of FDR?
I did not because I couldn't listen to the speech. Kathy got a few sound bites, but I said, no, dump them. The audience didn't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. He mentioned, who was it, Wilson or was it Roosevelt?
He mentioned FDR's four freedoms.
The four
you know, one of those being freedom from want. I mean, this was
right.
The impetus. This was delivered, by the way, when most people don't, you know, aren't aware of this, but I mean, when Roosevelt presented his four freedoms, it was January of 1941, nearly a full year before the United States was going into war.
Right.
And this was the whole thing to really push the Social Security program and all of his other social programs to. And when Bush talks about four freedoms, I'm saying, is this guy totally BSing or grandstanding or what? Does he know what he's talking about?
Well, he doesn't. I can give you the quick answer. He doesn't know what he's talking about. That's what is put in front of him. George W. Bush would have no more of an idea of the historical meaning of the term the four freedoms than you and I would understand the language spoken on Tralfamador. He has no idea. This is just put in front of him, and he reads it. What? Bush? Bush? Understand FDR? Understand the run-up to World War II? Understand anything that FDR? No, of course not. He doesn't understand it. That's just what he is handed to read.
Gee whiz.
Yeah, yeah.
It's unbelievable. This, it's going to end. I just got to believe this has got to end somewhere.
We
want fraud. That's the main thing. We seem to want fraud.
You're talking about the American sheeple?
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. It's very frustrating. It's very frustrating.
All right, Mike.
Hey, thanks for checking in. I appreciate it.
We'll check in again sometime.
All right, sir.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, take care. I hope Tom's right. I hope just scores of people who email in or call in and say, look, you know, it's going to end. It's going to end. It's going to stop. It's going to stop eventually. I hope you all are right. Tracy is calling from Silver Springs, Maryland. Tracy, this is your first time calling?
Yes, it is, Mike.
Well, welcome aboard.
Thank you. And I want to let you know that you are a source of inspiration to me. And when I was in Atlanta and I listened to you and you know, you're immersed in right-wing talk show radio there, and you were just great. So
well, thank you. That's
you know that.
Very kind. Thank you very much.
I wanted to give you some reason for hope because, and there are a couple of things, but the first thing I wanted to say is that in 45, 2 months after the war in Europe was won, the British voters turned Winston Churchill out of office.
That's true. That's very
true.
And
Bush is nowhere, he can't even be near Winston Churchill's jaw. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So, maybe there's hope, although Americans don't seem to have a good sense of history, but I think that's important. And the other question, I have a question for you. Why do you think that, and maybe it's something perpetrated by the media, but why do you think that U.S. military men and women just seem to be so rabidly for George Bush when he cuts their benefits?
I don't know.
And when Clinton, I mean, didn't send them into, nobody died in combat under Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you know, George Bush is the greatest. What is that for?
That's one of the enigmas wrapped in a mystery, et cetera. So I have no idea. George W. Bush is
and he's a true draft dodger, more so than Clinton.
And he went AWOL, and he was a deserter.
Yes.
He does everything he can to make the life of veterans miserable.
Yes.
He has no respect for people in uniform. He uses them like picture props.
Exactly.
And I've never been able to figure, the only thing I can figure out is,
damn that.
Whenever you see Bush giving one of his tacky little speeches in front of people in uniform, those people in uniform have to be there. They don't have any choice.
They do have to be. You know,
they're
what?
Ordered to be there. They're
That's
ordered
true.
To show respect. This is the commander-in-chief.
That's true.
Show respect. I don't know. Let me put you on hold a second. I'll come back and we'll finish this up. We've got to take a quick break here, Tracy. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
While we watch Georgia, France, think of Thomas Jefferson, and it makes me want to cry to think that the chair he sat in someone could buy. George wears his faith like a money belt, but I'll pray to Mad Time instead. Please come back, Tom, and save us from King George again. And his friends.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Feed someone who is hungry, and you will feel full. Give a child a reason to dream, and you will feel at peace. Help a teen reclaim his youth, and you will feel years younger. When you help the Salvation Army, everybody feels better. Donate online at SalvationArmyUSA.org. Need knows no season.
How is the GM 24-hour test drive different from the average test drive? It's about, 23 hours and 45 minutes longer. Long enough to take a GM car or truck to work, to keep it overnight. See how it fits in your garage. See how it fits in your life. For more information and to locate a participating dealer, click to gm.com/24-hour. You must be 21 and be an insured licensed driver with approved credit.
I'm asleep on it. I'll give you an answer in the morning.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Flying Monkey Ride Blues. Here's the cure. Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, we are talking with Tracy, who's called in from Silver Springs, Maryland. Tracy, thanks for holding on.
Oh, thanks. I just wanted to make one quick other point. For those of us who are just, I gag just like you seeing these pictures.
Oh, God.
So annoying. It was just pretty much vile.
You're talking about Bush on the aircraft carrier.
Oh yeah. Oh,
yeah. Wasn't that horrifying?
Oh,
it was just horrifying.
It was just horrible. But I think one thing we have to keep in mind, the paramount thing is to get rid of this guy next year. Somebody is going to have to do that, that person is going to have to be viable on national security issues. But I want to leave you and all of our brethren and sisters with something. It's just that, you know, liberalism is not dead. Otherwise, the right wing wouldn't be, Karl Rove and his gang wouldn't be trying to hijack it. One of the things that I went ballistic about, do you remember when John Ashcroft, when they named the Justice Department the Robert F. Kennedy Building and started to wrap themselves, you know, and Bobby Kennedy had his flaws, granted, but that made me ballistic.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
John Ashcroft is everything that Bobby Kennedy is not.
Anytime I hear any of these thugs in the Bush administration, especially the thug in chief, quoting, for example, Franklin Roosevelt, I want to break something.
Absolutely.
It's an outrage. It's almost sacrilege for these people to be quoting the greatest liberal Democrat in the history of this republic. Is an outrage.
It makes you sick.
I know.
But anyway, we'll plot on. Thanks, Mike.
All right, Tracy. Thanks for checking. I hope you call again. Take care. Appreciate your call. Dr. John is calling from Springfield. Hey, Dr. John.
Hey, Mike. How's it going? First time I've been able to talk to you in your new hours.
Yes, it is.
Usually I'm in bed. Thank goodness for White Rose. I would never hear you again.
Well, I'm glad you found WhiteRoseSociety.org. A lot of people use that when they can't. Hey, listen, I got to put you on hold. I'll come back to you right after the break, Dr. John. We have the top of the hour break barreling down on us. All right, stay with us, Truth Seekers. We have miles to go before we sleep. I'm Mike Malloy.
To Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. The 22-year-old Abilene, Texas man who gained national attention after rescuing four children from a fire only to be arrested is now free on bond. Chris Leisia was arrested after he appeared on a number of news programs. He was charged with failing to meet scheduled appointments with his probation officer and for failing to wear an ankle monitor. Leisia was originally arrested on charges of burglarizing the Abilene High School back in July. Now free on $3,000 bond, Leisia has been ordered to wear a new electronic monitor and report weekly to the probation office. A group of scientists is getting ready to pick up more experiments found in the wreckage of the space shuttle Columbia. California-based Planetary Society Executive Director Louis Friedman says they're expecting to open up a specially designed box Monday at the Kennedy Space Center and find that their experiment to study how bacteria travels from planet to planet is still intact. Friedman says investigators are planning to keep the box the experiment came in for their probe into the shuttle crash. The Planetary Society experiment is one of a number of projects found in the wreckage of Columbia, including thousands of worms who survived the shuttle's February 1st breakup. The FBI in Chicago has announced that DNA tests prove that a 6-year-old boy in Chicago is not a child who's been missing from North Carolina for more than 2 years. The 6-year-old Eli Quick came to nationwide attention when he was dropped off at a Chicago-area hospital by a man who acted strangely. Hospital officials became suspicious when the child could not name relatives or give his date of birth. DNA tests were run to determine whether the boy was Tristan Buddy Myers, who disappeared from a relative's home in North Carolina in 2000.
Ski resort, no, the beach, or Vegas, $0. Jane and the kids, maybe her mom, or maybe not, $0. A free trip to your favorite place with your favorite people, priceless. Use your MasterCard and you could win a getaway in our priceless memory sweepstakes. There are some things money can't buy. For everything else, there's MasterCard.
No purchase necessary. PIN-based and international transactions not eligible. Void where prohibited. Ends 12/31/02. Grand prizes not to exceed $40,000 and 19 guests each. Open illegally U.S. resident MasterCard cardholders prior to 10/15/02. 18 or older. For rules, call 1-800-MC-ASSIST.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Miss Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
Rhode Island Governor Don Carcieri says he'd love to provide Providence with the money Mayor David Cicilline is requesting from the state. Unfortunately, the governor says his own proposed budget is stretched to the limit.
I wish we had more money, too. If there's some way we can help out, all right, well, I'm open to looking at some things. But, you know, we also are facing a tough budget, and we're not through it by any means.
Carcieri says he doesn't blame Cicilline for pushing for more state aid, especially at this early point of the budget process. Cicilline has called for the state, city unions, and the city's private higher education institutions to provide their fair share to Providence. In the case of the state, that means returning a higher percentage of taxes contributed from Providence residents and companies back to the city. The mayor is running a rally at the State House on Tuesday to demonstrate for more city aid from the state.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
The FBI has announced DNA test results prove the boy dropped off at a Chicago area hospital last week is not that of missing North Carolina boy Tristan Buddy Myers. The results from DNA testing has determined the child known as Eli Quick is not Tristan Buddy Myers. Thomas Nair of the Chicago FBI says the boy's DNA does not match.
Our first hurdle was, are these two children identical? They are not.
Eli came to the attention of the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services after he was brought to a Chicago hospital by Ricky Quick, the man who claims to have raised him since he was an infant. After examining the boy, hospital officials called child welfare officials after suspecting he had been neglected. Stocks ended the week with an up day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 127 points to 8582. The NASDAQ rose 30 points to 1502. And the S&P 500 rose 13 points to 930. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Yesterday, in Brakes 101, master cylinders, calipers, and pads were demystified. You learned they are a lot like hearts, muscles, and skin, all designed to stop cars and save lives. When I come back, it's Brakes 102.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is, Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm gonna get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
Welcome to Brakes 102 at Car Clinic College. Today's lesson, analog braking systems, or ABS. Ever press the brake and nothing? You just pumped and hoped for the best? Hope no more. The best is here. Computer-controlled ABS. This system monitors the speed of individual wheels and applies precise braking power to each. And if any brake starts to lock or slows at a different rate than the others, that specific brake is automatically pumped or pulsed to prevent lockup. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. And we're in the middle of a conversation with Dr. John, who is calling from Springfield, Missouri. Thanks for holding on, Dr. John.
Hey, that's fine, Mike. I understand. In fact, I'm very seldom awake at this hour in your new hours, but thank goodness for White Rose Society.
Yes, indeed.
Because I listen to the program every day. Well, on the replay.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, listen, the big thanks goes out to whoever does the replays. That I know it costs money. And
well, that's our Elgin, Illinois bureau chief. His name is Ben, and occasionally he'll put up a plea for funds to keep the bandwidth available. Next time you see that plea, do what I do. I think I send him $100. So you don't have to send $100.
Yeah, well, I think that's a great donation. To keep it up.
Yeah.
I thought I'd let you know from an academic viewpoint about Bill Bennett.
Okay.
Back in the, I think it was the late 80s, when Bill Bennett was at the University of Texas, we started, and was getting politically active down there.
Uh-huh.
We started hearing about him, even up here in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And what we heard was his relationship with co-eds.
Yeah, right.
And apparently Bill Bennett has a long and rather colorful history with co-eds.
Well, it's the Elmer Gantry syndrome that so many of these people suffer from. You know, they preach virtue, and their life is just saturated with vice.
Oh, yeah.
It is. It's just classic. It's textbook. You know, that's why anytime I've ever heard somebody who really preaches a certain brand of morality, you can bet your butt that in their background or in their contemporaneous life, they are not living a virtuous life at all. This is how they deal with it. They just project it out onto the general population so they can survive. Bill Bennett is a classic example of this.
Absolutely. And let me tell you, I think somewhere in my old files, I've got letters from co-eds that accused, well, you know, you'd never climb into anybody's bedroom, right? There are no TV cameras when Bill Bennett was doing the ugly with the co-eds. But let me tell you, when they were making the sausage with two sides, the co-eds were publishing it. And this was right before he became the drug czar.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. Dr. John, obviously you're not surprised.
No.
I just wonder. Now, it's at MSNBC's website, the story, and which is a Newsweek article. I'll be curious to see if the Newsweek actually carries it. And I'll also be curious to see if the news gathering organizations in this twisted society pick up on the story. I mean, after all, they went on and on and on about Gary Condit.
You've got to be kidding me, Mike. You gotta be joking.
I probably am. Dr. John, thanks.
Take care, big guy.
All right, sir. Thanks for checking in. Ted sent another email in. Remember Bennett bloviating about Clinton on Hardball with fellow bloviant Chris Matthews? Bennett said, referring to Clinton, "This man has no character." It turns out that Bill Bennett is an addict. Oh, show him some mercy, Mike. No! No mercy, none. Not in this lifetime, not in any subsequent possible lifetimes. May Bill Bennett roast in hell with the rest of these people. Marcia sent me a list of his books. Billy Bennett, Gambler, Boy, Hypocrite. He wrote, Why We Fight, Moral Clarity and the War on Terrorism. He wrote, The Children's Book of Virtues. He wrote, The Book of Virtues, A Treasury of Great Moral Stories. He wrote, Our Sacred Honor, Words of Advice from the Founders in Stories, Letters, Poems, and Speeches. He wrote, The Death of Outrage, Bill Clinton and the Assault on American Ideals. He wrote, Moral Compass, Stories for a Life's Journey. He wrote, The Children's Book of Faith, The Children's Book of Virtues, The Children's Book of Heroes. He wrote, The Fight for Our Culture and Our Children. Oh, please. Please. And he spends hundreds of thousands, nay, millions of dollars with one of the most stupid addictions that represents one of the most blatant examples of moral failure. Well, I'm going to beat the house. Well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to beat the house. So as the story on MSNBC says, he was such a high roller, such a loser. Hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars this jackass has tossed into the tills of God knows how many gambling emporiums in Atlantic City and Las Vegas and God knows where else. How'd you like to see his online gambling debt, huh? But because he was a high roller, he is entitled to all the amenities. Now, any high roller knows what the amenities are when you go to some of these $2,000 a night hotels in Vegas or Atlantic City. You get the amenities, yeah. You get free food. You get free this. You get free that. You get free hookers. Have I mentioned tonight yet that I hate these people? I think I have. I think I already have. Paul is calling from Boynton Beach, Florida. Hey, Paul.
Yeah. How's it going, Mike?
Going fine, sir.
Get shocked yet?
Am I shocked?
Yes.
I
hear it's been a little lightning there. But
oh, yeah. Well, it's we got a bad storms raging around the Atlanta area tonight. But the real shocker, I guess, I don't know why it's a shocker. Because, like I mentioned to the good doctor here a moment ago, the Elmer Gantry syndrome always kicks in with these people. Remember Jimmy Swaggart?
Yeah.
I have to tell you, I used to love to watch Jimmy Swaggart. You know, he was Jerry Lee Lewis's cousin. And I would come home late at night from working at WSB here in Atlanta, and I would turn on the Jimmy Swaggart, his syndicated religious program. And Lord, that man would almost get me to put my hand on the television. I mean, when he would preach and when he would sing and play the piano and he'd start to cry and, oh my God, I just wanted to be born again. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jimmy, I love you. I want to be a... And then it turns out he's boinking all these hookers, you know, and it's just like, oh no.
Oh yes, but he cried and pleaded for forgiveness.
I remember when he started crying and pleading, his poor put upon Christian wife sat there on the stage with him, looking at him as he stood up there and said, I have failed. I have sinned.
But damn, it was good.
Yep.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, when I tell you this, I couldn't really watch Bush, but it was for a little different reason, because when I seen Bush come out with the uniform on, it immediately reminded me of a George Carlin skit.
Yeah.
Why do we attack, another country? Well, because they have a bigger penis.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Well, apparently, George, he wants to show that he's got a bigger penis now.
Well, the thing that really irked me more than anything, and I don't know why, this is just a minute detail, but when he got out of that jet and, you know, snapped off those really tight military salutes, and he's got his helmet under his arm, and I'll be damned if the man didn't walk around for half an hour with the helmet under his arm. He just didn't want to let go of that helmet. I'm George Bush. I'm the commander-in-chief. I just descended from the clouds. I am also the returning Messiah, and I'm going to hold on to this helmet because this really looks good, and Carl told me to do this, play it to the hilt, because this is the video we're going to use for my re-election campaign. But he wouldn't let go of the helmet, and it almost drove me crazy. I was waiting for one of those flight deck people to just take the helmet out of his hand and bop him over the head with it and say, let loose of the damn helmet, George. The flight's over.
Yeah, but they couldn't get close enough to him.
Well, that's true. That's true.
They're all bound up there. Couldn't get close enough to him.
Yeah, I hear that. All right, well, Paul.
I heard this. I actually got the word from this, believe it or not.
Yeah?
From Russ Limbaugher.
Yeah?
Okay. Actually, he gave the wrong times and everything, but actually, tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, well, they won't show, but it's from 9 till 10:30, they're going to have the first Democratic debate.
Well, ABC has announced...
I'll have it at, I guess, after the news, they'll show it.
Well, ABC has announced they're not going to carry this debate live. What do you think of that?
Yeah, they're going to have it after the news. Yeah, the thing with it is they can't have it live. They have that movie, The Gladiator, on. They have to have that on. Oh, that's... that's a three-hour movie, too.
Yeah, it is. It is indeed. Well, I've got something to say about that, too. Paul, thanks for checking in, pal.
There's one other thing.
Oh, yeah. All right, go ahead.
Okay, you know the... the voting, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
The electoral votes. Now,
yeah.
I remember back... Okay, let's see, 92, I believe it was.
Yeah.
The thing that is, that's when Clinton ran the first time.
Right.
Okay, he got, close to 400. But there was another person, another independent.
Yeah.
Okay, Ross Perot.
Right.
That almost got 20 million votes.
Right.
And not one electoral vote.
Well, the electoral system in this country really sucks. It was put in place because the founding fathers figured that we Americans, we hoi polloi, would resort to mob rule, and that the people who comprised the various legislatures in the various states had more sense than we had, and that's the reason that was put into effect. It should be done away with. There's no question. Hey, Paul, I got to move on. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you checking in. You have a nice night. Yeah, what Paul was talking about, I don't know if y'all are aware of this, but Saturday is the first debate among the 9 Democratic presidential candidates. It's going to be held at the University of South Carolina, and ABC has decided not to broadcast it live. Kathy Levine, spokeswoman for ABC News in New York, said the earliest that the rest of America can see the debate is at 11:30 at night Saturday, when it will be made available by ABC, unedited, to all the ABC affiliates in the country. Now, Levine says the 9 p.m. start time is considered prime network time. That is a lie. Trust me, 9 p.m. Saturday night, the networks don't give a tinker's damn what they put on. That's why they run movies then, because nobody stays home on Saturday night, according to the geniuses at these television networks, to watch television. So Kathy Levine is lying through her teeth when she says it's considered prime network time. So we're not going to carry it live. You know what this is about, and so do I. So at 11:30 Saturday night, where will you be, Truth Seeker? Will you stay up and watch the 9 Democratic presidential candidates in their so-called debate? Yeah, well, that's what they're counting on.
Well, it's the land of the brave, home of the free. That's the funny thing about democracy. A vote for me.
Every day at Domino's, you get something free. A cheesy, gooey pizza and great taste we guarantee. Delivered hot, fresh, and steamy, you'll feel like you're in Waikiki. Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one-topping pizza free.
Right now at Domino's, it's 2-for-1 pizza days. Buy any large pizza at menu price, get a medium one-topping pizza free. What a deal.
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one-topping pizza free.
Get the door. It's 2-for-1 pizza days at Domino's. Limited time offer. Prices and terms may vary.
Yo, this is Ed Lover.
This is Dr. Dre.
That's right, we in the mix for Twix, baby. Here's the mix.
Ed, I'm gonna tell you right now, all from state to state, it's all about the mix.
You understand? That's how it's going down. Ed Lover and Dr. Dre style. Rolling through the streets, just doing my thing. I need the Twix to keep me in the mix and the swing. When I wanna stay real good in the mix,
come on, y'all.
Rolling through the Twix.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Speaking for the Pentagon, Major Joe LaMarca said not long ago, "We don't practice propaganda in this country." Of course not, Major, for that would be undemocratic and un-American. Propaganda is what nasty little evildoers practice, not us. As President George W. himself has informed us, we're the global good guys, the world's only omnipower, so we do not practice propaganda. Definitely not. Strategic communication, however, well, that's a different animal altogether, and we definitely do practice strategic communication. Indeed, you as an American citizen will probably burst with patriotic pride to learn that George W. has given the U.S. of A. its first ever Office of Global Communications. Without fanfare or even congressional authorization, he quietly signed an executive order on January 21st, and poof, there it was, a spiffy, slick, and shiny OGC operating out of the White House. We're told that it serves as a sort of mega public relations firm for the Bush administration, but it doesn't practice propaganda. Every morning it holds a global conference call with various officials to set the message of the day, but it doesn't practice propaganda. It issues official government language for the media to use to describe U.S. actions, but it doesn't practice propaganda. It pre-approves dramatic anecdotes for Bush and other officials to tell the media and the public, including anecdotes that turn out to be fabricated, but it doesn't practice propaganda. We know that the OGC doesn't practice propaganda because the head of the office tells us it doesn't. And we know we can trust him because he's Tucker Eskew, the Republican political operative who ran Bush's bare-knuckle primary election in South Carolina a couple of years ago. As we know, there's no propaganda in presidential elections, even in down-and-dirty ones like that one was. This is Jim Hightower saying, it's good to know that our own tax dollars are paying for an executive office that directs non-propaganda at us.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. So ABC in New York has decided they are not going to carry live the first presidential debate among the nine Democratic candidates for that office. And Kathy Levine, a spokeswoman for ABC News in New York, said, we've got prime network time there. That's 9 o'clock. That's an utter lie. Trust me, if you can, having worked in media all these years, I know, and you probably do, too. 9 o'clock on a Saturday night is dead time for networks. Ms. Levine said the delay in showing the debate will not take away from its impact. It really won't. If we show it from 11:30 at night until 1 o'clock in the morning, that's not going to take away from its impact at all. No, 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 no. She said, you know, it was never an issue of not putting it out on the network. We just, you know, we got prime time. We have to show movies and stuff. This is America. You people don't need to watch this. Now, the debate moderator is Judas Stephanopoulos. He will also broadcast his This Week on ABC, his political news show, live from the University of South Carolina on Sunday morning. And he will feature excerpts from the nine Democratic presidential candidates and their debate. And C-SPAN will also run the debate several times on Sunday. So there you have it. ABC has decided, that's the network owned by Disney, ABC has decided that the nine Democratic presidential candidates in their first debate will not be seen live by the American public. Now, maybe you can catch it on C-SPAN if your cable or satellite system has that. But ABC, whose license requires a certain amount of time serving the public interest. Doesn't that sound quaint? Huh? Doesn't that sound like something from the 20s? That would be the 1920s. That's how people used to get the radio licenses. So doesn't that sound like quaint from, the 40s? When television networks started to come into existence? Well, we will grant you this massive license to print money. But it's the public airwaves. No, it's not. Not any longer. It's a corporate entity, and they will do what they damn well please. So ABC says no. You want to watch the presidential debates? Okay, stay up to 11:30 till 1 o'clock in the morning, and we will run a delayed broadcast. You don't need to be watching this anyway. We are going to televise the, what's the movie? The Gladiator. Yeah. Lance is calling from Manhattan, Illinois. Hey, Lance.
Yes, I did. It was Mike.
Thank you.
I just lost my train of thought. Listening to everything you were saying, I was sitting on it so intently because I'm going to listen to the debate, and it was making me angry thinking about the way they are just doing all they can to keep people from hearing Dennis Kucinich and, to a lesser degree, Howard Dean. If either one of those two ever was allowed a serious audience, then maybe we could start something. But I just don't think it's going to happen.
I don't either. According to our northern Indiana, well, not she's not our bureau chief, but she's one of our, I think we already have a northern Indiana bureau chief, but one of our regular correspondents, Marge, tells me that, or told Kathy, that the debate among the nine Democratic presidential hopefuls will be broadcast in Chicago at 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, that's fair.
And you live in the Chicago market.
Yep.
So stay up till 2:30, from 2:30 till 4, and you'll be able to see Democracy in Action, Lance, the nine presidential candidates from the Democratic Party having a spirited debate at 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the morning.
Yep. And catching about every third word as I doze off.
Now maybe you and some other folks are starting to understand why I have a totally, I'm sorry, Lance, totally pessimistic attitude about what's going to happen in the 2004 run-up to the election and the election itself. I'm sorry, I don't mean to sound so negative, but George Bush is going to serve a second four-year term, and the lockdown in this country is going to become tighter and tighter and tighter.
Mike, I don't think you sound pessimistic. I think you sound like a realist. And
there's one way out of this, but I'm really not allowed to say it on the radio.
Well, that's kind of what. Well, people were, or you were saying.
Hey,
callers.
Let me put you on hold again, Lance. I'll come right back. I'm sorry. I'm just talking and talking here tonight, and I'm using up your time. So let me put you on hold. Come back in just a moment. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Molloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Some frogs get through winter by being freeze-tolerant, but they don't last when they're freeze-dried. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Some frogs in cold parts of the world have to thaw out in the springtime after spending the winter frozen stiff. Their bodies contain a compound that works like antifreeze to protect their tissue from damage in cold weather. Bob Hay is an amphibian and reptile specialist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. He says freeze-tolerant frogs include western chorus frogs, spring peepers, tree frogs, and wood frogs.
And all of those can literally freeze solid during the winter. Their heart rate is gone. Their breathing is gone. They are just literally in a state of suspended animation until they re-thaw.
That adaptation works well if they're frozen, but not if they're frozen and dried out. The frogs need snow or some other form of insulation to avoid dehydration and permanent damage to their tissue. Hayes says a lack of snow across much of the U.S. might have exposed these tough amphibians to conditions that can kill them. Hayes says those conditions can be hard on turtles as well. He says frostbite can seriously injure them, and he saw that problem once after a particularly cold and dry winter.
And I found numerous turtles that had frostbitten rear appendages, both the hind leg and the tail, were frozen to the extent that they had thawed out and they had already become just like mush on the back end of the body, and they would then leave the water as soon as they could get at the sun for warmth, but they had been damaged too severely to recover from it. Most of these animals just perished.
Hayes says something similar could happen this year. He says a frostbitten turtle might survive the winter, only to die in the spring from infection or disease. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Tanya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Molloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Molloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Molloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Molloy.
27 before the hour, and we're talking with Lance in Manhattan, Illinois. Thanks for holding on, Lance.
Anthony Ditto, thank you for the break, because one of my guys was about to go off on me about getting a can of pop, and he uses language that wouldn't go over very well, and I was just like walking on eggs. It sounded like George Bush for a few minutes. I'm really sorry. I wanted to comment about the having mercy upon these people, the Republicans, because I heard you or somebody say about or brought up a dissertation about having mercy upon them. Why? They attack innocent people continually, and they never, ever show any mercy. These people are guilty.
Yeah, I used to be a compassionate liberal. I used to believe in the redemptive quality of the human spirit. Universally speaking, I thought perhaps even Stalin, even Hitler, even Reagan could have been redeemed. But I've in my later years here, Lance,
Reagan's oppressed, but
I'm coming to the conclusion that compassionate liberalism is it just doesn't work. Where it concerns compassion that perhaps should be directed towards these right-wing thugs, these neo-Nazi bastards. I do not have the spiritual capacity to do that. I wish I did. I wish I was a moral.
But I think you're right in that thought. That's really what I was calling for, is my hopes for the next year or so. Because I would really love for us to get behind Dennis Kucinich to show that we really are Democrats. I'd like for us to keep protesting every single thing Bush does, although people say it doesn't really do any good. I know from doing it myself, it gets you organized, and it's also good practice.
Yeah.
But what I'm really hoping will happen is, you'd mentioned the other night, when it goes to his coronation in 2 Septembers from now in New York City, I would like for us to make the 68th Democratic Convention look like a picnic.
Yeah.
I would like for us to show up in the hundreds of thousands and show how American people get pissed off when a tyrant comes in and takes our freedom and democracy away for 4 years. I would love for us to express ourselves freely for a change.
I hope that happens.
That I do too.
I hope by that point the American sheeple have come to realize where we are, where Bush is taking us, what this crime family is about, and how absolutely imperative it is to at the Republican National Convention to take to the streets and say, no, it's over.
We debate amongst ourselves too much. They are so organized. They're hateful, but they're organized, and they mean it.
Yeah.
I'm listening to your show, and a guy calls up and says, I can't vote for Kucinich because he voted against cloning once or so. I mean, who is this, Ted Williams' kid? And that's the big issue for this guy? All the stuff going on in the world, and that's the thing that concerns him? Jesus Christ, he needs to be on our side.
I know.
Why can't we get organized as a group? Why do we have to nitpick over every little thing?
Well, as the hammer comes down harder and harder, I think some of the distractions that we have, like these tangential issues, will start to diminish, and that we will start to realize Democrats, progressives, liberals, people who still have a brain will start to realize that the door is shutting. The door is shutting on the experiment that the founders of this country put together 200 some years ago. And unless we jam our foot in the door, it's going to shut tight. So
be a revolution if necessary. It almost has to be necessary at this point.
Well,
they're not going to give it up.
I go back to Thomas Jefferson's words: the tree of liberty has to be watered every once in a while.
But when I listen to your callers, I get the—I mean, they're intelligent and stuff, but there's that liberal thing where it just makes me. I mean, at this point, if you're not wanting to get up and fight back, you're not a liberal. You're a pansy. I mean, come on! What does it take?
All right,
Mike.
All right, I hear you. Thanks, Lance. Appreciate you checking in. Kelly Kramer, the writer, you've seen her work all over the Internet, I'm sure. She recently compiled the resume for George Bush, and we posted it at our website. I just want to run down the list here, if you'll indulge me. In Bush's resume, Kelly Kramer listed his central accomplishments. Among them are, he shattered the record for the biggest annual deficit in history. He set the economic record for the most private bankruptcies filed in any 12-month period. He set an all-time record for the biggest drop in the history of the stock market. In his first year in office, he set the all-time record for the most days on vacation by any president in U.S. history. After taking the entire month of August off for vacation his first year, he presided over the worst security failure in U.S. history. That would be the 9/11 attack. In his first 2 years in office, Bush presided over 2 million Americans losing their jobs. He cut unemployment benefits for more out-of-work Americans than any president in U.S. history. He appointed more convicted criminals to administration positions than any president in U.S. history. He signed more laws and executive orders gutting the Constitution than any president in history. He presided over the biggest energy crisis in U.S. history and refused to intervene when corruption was revealed. That was what happened in California. He cut health care benefits for war veterans. George W. Bush set the all-time record for the most people worldwide to simultaneously take to the streets to protest a sitting American president, shattering the record for protest against any person in the history of the human race. He dissolved more international treaties than any president in U.S. history. He is the first president in U.S. history to have all 50 states of the Union simultaneously go bankrupt. He presided over the biggest corporate stock market fraud of any market in any country in the history of the world. He is the first president in U.S. history to order a U.S. attack and military occupation of a sovereign nation who had not threatened the United States. George W. Bush created the largest government department bureaucracy in the history of this country, Homeland Security. He set the all-time record for the biggest annual budget spending increases, more than any president in U.S. history. He's the first president in U.S. history to have the United Nations remove the United States from the Human Rights Commission. He is the first president in U.S. history to have the United Nations remove the United States from the Elections Monitoring Board. He set the all-time United States and world record for the most corporate campaign donations. He is the biggest lifetime contributor, the biggest lifetime campaign contributor presided over one of the largest corporate bankruptcy frauds in world history. That would be Ken Lay, Enron. He has spent more money on polls and focus groups than any president in U.S. history. He is the first to run and hide, the first president to run and hide when the United States came under attack. And then he lied, saying the enemy had the code to Air Force One. Oh, Jesus. He took the biggest world sympathy for the United States after September 11th and in less than a year made the United States the most resented country in the world, which constitutes possibly the biggest diplomatic failure in U.S. and world history. With his policy of disengagement, he created the most hostile Israeli-Palestinian relations in the last 30 years. He is the first U.S. president in history to have a majority of the people of Europe view his presidency as the biggest threat to world peace and stability. He is the first U.S. president in history to have the people of South Korea more threatened by the United States than their immediate neighbor, North Korea. George W. Bush changed U.S. policy to allow convicted criminals to be awarded government contracts funded by U.S. taxpayers' dollars. George W. Bush set an all-time record for the number of administration appointees who violated U.S. law by not selling huge investments in corporations bidding for government contracts. He failed to fulfill his pledge to get Osama bin Laden dead or alive. He failed to capture the anthrax killer who tried to murder the leaders of our country at the United States Capitol building. After 18 months, he has no leads, no suspects. In the 18 months following the September 11th attacks against this country, he has successfully prevented any public investigation into the biggest security failure in the history of the United States. He has removed more freedoms and civil liberties for Americans than any other president in U.S. history. And last, he entered office with the strongest economy in U.S. history and in less than 2 years turned every single economic category straight down. Now, why? Dear God, Allah, Yahweh, Jesus, Moses, Abraham, Muhammad, somebody! Why does any American citizen support this? How can that be? How can this be? The man is destroying this country. I don't give a rat's ass how many battleships, how many aircraft carriers he lands on and struts around like the little phony peacock that he is. How does any American support this? Might as well howl into the night, right? He emerged onto the flight deck of the USS Abraham Lincoln the other day with the cooperation of the Pentagon and at the expense of the taxpayers. Karl Rove, Joe Connison writes, had arranged one of the tackiest, most expensive campaign photo ops in history. For some of us, what that occasion, what those photos evoked was Bush's strange Vietnam-era stint as a pilot in the Texas Air National Guard. The vague official account presented in Bush's campaign autobiography 3 years ago, wherein he suggests that he kept flying with his Texas Guard unit until he completed his service, that is one of the most blatant lies ever committed to print by a presidential candidate. Bush disappeared from duty after failing to take his annual physical in 1972. Period! That is a fact! That is the truth, damn it! But the lie hangs out there. American veterans applaud this twerp. In today's Boston Globe, Anne Corblett, the writer, reports a peculiar aspect of the May Day photo op on that aircraft carrier. She writes, quote, White House officials originally said that Bush was making the dramatic jet trip because the ship was too far out to sea to be reached by helicopter. Bush was trained in ejection procedures and water survival in case of a crash. But the carrier was just 30 miles from shore by the time he arrived, and officials said it had slowed down so that Bush could spend the night on board before the ship docked today, extending by one day the sailor's 10-month deployment at sea, the longest by a carrier in 30 years. So the men and women aboard the USS Abraham Lincoln were used as presidential props. Now, do you remember a long time ago the story, apocryphal indeed, but the story nonetheless that was just slammed down our throats by right-wing talk radio about Bill Clinton and his $200 haircut on board Air Force, is Air Force One, the presidential plane, sitting at the end of a runway at LAX, tying up traffic? Do you remember that story, which was a total lie? Do you remember how often it was repeated in the right-wing echo chamber of this sick, disgusting media in this country? Remember that? Here's George W. Bush, who delays the homecoming of sailors who have been out for 10 months so that he can have his pissant photo op. The men and women aboard that ship were used as surely as they are used. When Bush demonstrates his respect and admiration for those who actually serve, he slashes their benefits over the next decade by almost $29 billion and restricts their medical care in order to reduce taxes on his friends and his patrons. And this filthy, disgusting media that we have in this country puts those damn cameras out there, swooping across the deck of that aircraft carrier, scanning the skies while the anchors and reporters try to speak military jargon, and the sailors stand there. And the Democrats in this country, the Democratic leadership, their inability to express any outrage about this, any outrage about Karl Rove's plan to use Ground Zero and the third anniversary of the slaughter that occurred in this country as next year's props for George W. Bush's reelection campaign. And some of you people ask me why I utterly and absolutely refuse to vote for a Democratic presidential candidate unless he is a true Democrat. Are you kidding me? We'll be back. Stay with us.
Let George Bush flash V's like tricking from a copter about to depart from the White House lawn. Impeach the election stealer.
But the minute I got elected, the storm clouds on the horizon were getting nearly directly overhead.
Nightmare surveillance state and impeach the impoverisher of those who work for wages.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
How is the GM 24-hour test drive different from the average test drive? It's about, 23 hours and 45 minutes longer. Long enough to take a GM car or truck to work, to keep it overnight. See how it fits in your garage. See how it fits in your life. For more information and to locate a participating dealer, click to gm.com/24-hour. You must be 21 and be an insured licensed driver with approved credit.
I'm asleep on it. I'll give you an answer in the morning.
Every day at Domino's, you get something free. A cheesy, gooey pizza and great taste, we guarantee. Delivered hot, fresh, and steamy, you'll feel like you're in Waikiki. Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one topping pizza free.
Right now at Domino's, it's 2-for-1 pizza days. Buy any large pizza at menu price, get a medium one topping pizza free. What a deal.
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one topping pizza free.
Get the door. It's 2-for-1 pizza days at Domino's. Limited time offer, prices and terms may vary.
Quit smoking in 7 days? Now you can with Release HD, the all-natural homeopathic medicine now available without a prescription, designed to break your addiction to nicotine in just 7 days guaranteed. Listen to what internationally recognized Dr. Richard Cohen has to say about Release HD.
The beauty of the homeopathic medicine in the Release HD system is that it deals with the suffering, eases the withdrawal symptoms, and can take away the jitters. I strongly recommend Release HD to anyone who wants to quit smoking.
It's never too late to stop. The Release HD system goes to work immediately, stopping nicotine cravings, irritability, and withdrawals. Release HD is different from gums and patches because it works from the inside out, giving your body the nutrients it needs to break free. You can quit. Do it the easy way with Release HD.
Call Release HD now for your free trial offer. 1-800-519-5717 and quit smoking for good in 7 days guaranteed. Do it today with Release HD. 1-800-519-5717. That's 1-800-519-5717. 5717. Call now.
Place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Steff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts and Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Grayline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network. Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Okay, your phone calls in a moment. I've just got to share with you how the BBC took a look at George's trip out to the aircraft carrier. The BBC, BBC's Washington correspondent Nick Bryant writes, "The White House has produced a striking backdrop for Bush's speech to the American people that marks the end of the major combat phase of the war. And it was not just the speech, but the dramatic image of the president landing on the carrier deck and emerging in fighter pilot suit and hugging the sailors that will have made an impact. From the so-called saving of Private Jessica Lynch to the Texas homecoming of the seven American POWs, this has been the most stage-managed war in American history. Wartime presidential appearances have had the feel of campaign rallies, which has been exactly the intent. As part of its communication strategy, the White House is packaging Mr. Bush as, quote, the national security president, end quote. And on the home front here in the good old U.S., Bush has emerged from the war with his reputation enhanced. The dominant view in the U.S. is that the war was a success, that Iraq has been liberated with minimal sacrifice in American lives. Mr. Bush has come across as self-assured. People here in the States seem prepared to overlook details that do not fit the White House script. The uncertainty surrounding the fate of Saddam Hussein and the failure to uncover any weapons of mass destruction. Well, Mr. BBC, Washington correspondent, you're in America when you write this. And we are an odd breed in this country. The truth can come up and bite us on the ass, and we will just shake it off. Photo op. The deaths of Americans, the deaths of Iraqis. Photo op. Sailors trying to make it home after 10 months. Photo op. 3,000 dead in New York City from 50 countries. Photo op. Bush standing in front of soon-to-be-laid-off workers at Lockheed Martin, photo op. And we here in the United States, Mr. Nick Bryant, BBC Washington correspondent, We, some of us care, but for the most part, nah. George W. Bush has been appointed by God, you see. And we know that, Mr. BBC correspondent. We know that deep in our hearts. Now, excuse me for 5 minutes while I go throw up.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably a few more years
I'm talking about now, like the tread on a tire. Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network. The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern, on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Scott Peterson's new lawyer isn't wasting any time arguing on behalf of his client. Even before it was made official that he was taking the case, Mark Gregos was telling CNN his theory about the murder.
I think, and I said early on to you, that as soon as the remains were found, I believe now that that points to a stranger and that it was a predator in that park.
Lacey Peterson disappeared while walking her dog in a Modesto park on Christmas Eve day. Her body and that of her unborn son washed up on shore in the San Francisco Bay in April. Scott Peterson has been charged with the murders. He was being represented by a Stanislaus County public defender until Gregos signed on. PD's Kent Faulkner and Tim Bazar believe Peterson's new attorney will serve him well.
Going to do a great job. I think he's got the resources, he's got the knowledge, he's got the connections. I think it's going to change the landscape of the way the case is tried.
I have met with the new attorney, and he seems like a good, competent defense counsel. I don't know that a lot about him, but he has a good reputation up and down the state.
Gregos has represented high-profile clients like Robert Downey Jr., Gary Condit, and Winona Ryder. The FBI has announced DNA test results prove the boy dropped off at a Chicago-area hospital last week is not that of missing North Carolina boy Tristan Buddy Myers. The results from DNA testing has determined the child known as Eli Quick is not Tristan Buddy Myers. Thomas Nair of the Chicago FBI says the boy's DNA does not match.
Our first hurdle was, are these two children identical? They are not.
Eli came to the attention of the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services after he was brought to a Chicago hospital by Ricky Quick, the man who claims to have raised him since he was an infant. After examining the boy, hospital officials called child welfare officials after suspecting he had been neglected.
Are you a prescription plan member who uses Clarinex, Zyrtec, or Allegra for allergy relief? Then you should know that many plans are changing the coverage level on your nasal allergy medicine, which might cost you more money. Don't let nasal allergy relief cost you more this year. Just ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray 50 micrograms. Flonase is approved to relieve the nasal symptoms from pollen, dust mites, pet dander, pollution, smoke, and strong odors. More triggers than any leading allergy medicine. Comparable efficacy and safety among Flonase and these products has not been established. For best results, use Flonase daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. To learn more about Flonase, see our ad in Fitness Magazine. Visit www.flonase.com or call 1-800-FLONASE. If the copayment for your allergy medicine is costing you more money, ask your doctor if Flonase is right for you. All it takes is Flonase.
President Bush begins to make the transition from a wartime presidency to one that focuses on the domestic economy, Don Andrews reports.
Although images of war were very close by, President Bush focused on the economy today. He forcefully and repeatedly called on Congress to approve a robust tax package. He also says he wants more tax relief for small businesses and an end to the double taxation of stock dividends. Mr. Bush says his plan will create 1 million new jobs. The president says the rising unemployment figures are another sign of the need for an economic stimulus package like the one he's proposing. Don Andrews, Santa Clara.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Emotions ran high as hundreds of San Diego-based sailors returned to loved ones following a 10-month deployment to the Persian Gulf. Tom Riopelle reports.
Family and friends cheered, waved American flags and banners as the sailors returned from the war aboard the USS Abraham Lincoln. Sailor Chris Delphitt says the crew is proud of the job they accomplished.
Well, we guys, we pulled together as a team, and we did some of the best any Navy unit has ever done.
The Lincoln will leave San Diego tomorrow for its home port in Everett, Washington. Tom Riopelle, Coronado, California.
Stocks ended the week higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 127 points to 85.82. The Nasdaq rose 30 to 15.02. The S&P 500 was up 13 to 9.30. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. A picture's worth a thousand words, so picture this, a toilet bowl. You know what car part is similar to that household favorite? Battery? Gas tank? No, those won't float. But when I come back, I'll tell you what does.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is, Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halvesies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
What's the automotive equivalent of your toilet bowl? Your carburetor. Both have little floats that control levels of liquid. Ever lifted the top of a toilet tank and bent the rod to stop water from flowing? Carburetors have similar float valves that adjust fuel level. In toilets, the excess water streams harmlessly to the sewer. But in carburetors, surplus fuel flows into the motor, causing engine damage, decreased gas mileage, and air pollution. All good reasons to include carburetor checks in your annual inspections. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Just got an email from my senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota. I want to share with you. This is regarding C-SPAN televising the Democratic candidates debate, the first one, where nine Democratic candidates will have their first so-called debate this Saturday. Now, there is it's up in the air right now whether C-SPAN is going to telecast it live or delay it. So Chris emails in, I have to question whether C-SPAN is going to air the debate in its entirety or if they're going to edit it down somehow. My question comes courtesy of this past Wednesday and what was said on C-SPAN's Washington Journal. One of the typical anchors started reading from a piece in the Wall Street Journal. The writer in the journal was saying that he believes that, quote, marginal candidates destroy the debates, end quote. And then the next call-in question, during the next call-in question, the C-SPAN anchor said what amounted to, we here at C-SPAN happen to agree with this point of view. And then this anchor on C-SPAN went on to mention who some of these marginal candidates are. The usual suspects are, of course, anyone who might shake up the system or might be interesting to hear in a debate. So, the usual suspects are, of course, Al Sharpton, Carol Mosley Braun, and Dennis Kucinich. Interesting that the two candidates of color are singled out, considering that C-SPAN has only one black anchor, and he's on as often as Halley's Comet comes buzzing by. And Kucinich was mentioned for the simple reason that he's a threat to the status quo, and as such, he needs to be introduced to the pavement by the media. You know, they can't pull a duplicate Wellstone plane crash, at least not right now. And they can't, apparently, pin a damn thing on Kucinich. So the last line of defense is Karl Rove's attack dogs, and what a job they're pulling off. So you can see, Chris writes, why I'm wondering whether or not C-SPAN's going to play around with the feed and the edit. Oh, my senior correspondent has turned into just a total cynic. C-SPAN wouldn't do that, Chris. Would they? Nah. Right, I'm going to take a couple calls here, and then I've got something really, really, really weird for you. This is weirder than the Planet X thing. This has to do with Bush. This was at Democratic Underground, one of the forums today, Bush's little quote from the book of Isaiah when he was finishing up with the props, that would be the troops, on board the USS Abraham Lincoln. And this is really bizarre, but before we get to it, let's go back to the calls here for a second. Jerry is calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hey, Jerry.
Good evening, Mark.
How you doing?
Well, what I call what Bush does, and I'm curious to hear your takes on his quoting Isaiah, is mesmerism.
Yeah.
He's so powerful that again, you could list a list like you just listed, and the problem is most people today would turn that around. The repukes would turn that around to a list of accomplishments.
right.
Well, I'm serious.
I know.
And they'd be all fevered about it, about what? Oh, these things he accomplished, and oh, that's an accomplishment. Getting out of all the treaties that we've ever been in.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Sure. We are infested in this country with pod people.
With pod people?
Pod people. They're not real human beings. They're Republicans.
Well, I think you're on to something, and I think that's kind of how we're going to have to fight this. And, again, I've called him a Luciferian Arianism, what he practices. And I'm just looking at my notes here. But ever since I've grown up, again, I've always, you know, been given the Nazi metaphor for, you know, we can't allow this to happen here.
Mm-hmm.
This can't happen here.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it does. And I think you all have the best links on to regarding the Nazism that this administration might be fooling around in or have once.
Yeah.
But, you know, on the very right wing, if you listen to the shortwave radio now, they now actually say that he is the Antichrist because one of the things that he's doing, of course, is restructuring Babylon. I'm serious.
Yeah. The really wacko Christian fundamentalists who are out there somewhere around Pluto who do use shortwave radio to spread their fear and trembling. Yeah, I think they're starting to realize what they've assisted in
creating.
Yeah, in creating and bringing into power. Now, of course, I don't believe any of this nonsense. To me, the Book of Revelation was written when somebody was on a bad acid trip, ate too many of those desert peyote buttons, and just went berserk. And wrote what he wrote, John of some John, you know.
That guy in Patmos, Greece, or whatever, that guy stranded on that island. Can I go into just very quickly the
very
best
quickly,
interpretation
sure.
of the Kabbalah that I've ever read is by Carlos Suarez in a book called The Cipher of Genesis that goes into the Old Testament and Kabbalah. But, for instance, Ur of the Chaldees, at the town of Ur that Abraham came out of, and when he came out of it, by the way, his name was actually Abram.
Yeah.
If you look in the old book of Genesis, but Ur of the Chaldees, for instance, is an example of this type of mesmerism, because Ur actually means in the ancient Hebrew, Aleph Va Resh, or...
Now, don't get too deep on us here,
Well, it's the light inside the container, the false light inside the container that holds the people
mesmerized.
Spellbound.
Right. Yeah,
and that's what Ur. That's why I thought it was interesting that he was having that his discussion of the remake of Babylon and Ur.
Mm-hmm.
But last thing I want to touch base with is Mike. You've mentioned this, and I've actually seen this on TV. But the fundamentalist Christians, and again, you know, I like to smoke the Hubble bubble and watch TV myself. And my favorite evangelicals to watch, because again, I'm only watching them like you watch a canary in a coal mine.
Right.
Rexella and Jack Van Impey.
Yeah, they are a real circus act.
Oh, they are a circus act. Rexella and Jack Van Impey. Now, they now have this new coalition started with all these other evangelicals, including Pat Boone.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch of others, but it's this whole thing that you've mentioned before about the Jews for Jesus.
Yeah.
You are now being asked as a fundamentalist to help save a Jewish soul.
Right, or kill him.
Well, that's what I thought was so evil about this, because I swear to Yahushua, Amentep, Yoho, that Yohoshoho.
Yeah.
Yadavai.
Okay.
They actually had on this Jewish looking man that actually said
Jewish looking?
Well,
never mind, go ahead.
Yeah. I'm Oklahoma tall food.
Yeah, that's true. You're from Oklahoma. Anybody?
My family actually once ran a Tulsa's first bagel.
Yeah, I know. Anybody from the Mediterranean area looks Jewish. I understand. Go ahead.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But he actually was saying, and while he was saying this, they had overplaying films of the Nazi era, films of the Holocaust.
Oh God.
And he was actually saying the most anti-Semitic thing you can do is to withhold the salvation of Yeshua, whatever they call Jesus.
Well, yeah, they will give the Jews a choice, and of course this is well known in fundamentalist Christian Armageddonist theology. When the day comes, the Jews will be given a choice: either accept Christ or die.
And that day is now.
Well,
that day is today, according to what I've just been watching on TV with El Jorge from the Junta's Friends.
Right.
And for $500, Mike, you can buy the most beautiful Horms Ram chauffeur. We ought to buy it, and we ought to blow it to bring in the age.
Oh, my God. Don't forget your prayer glove, too. I swear to God, it's like somebody has put really bad acid in the nation's water supply, and we are all on this really weird acid trip. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right. We must counter it with myths, and the best myth is, Mike, you were talking yesterday about alienation.
Yeah.
Karl Marx wrote the best thing in the Communist and Manifesto about alienated labor.
Yeah.
That goes right hand in hand with the UFO thing. Alien.
I'm sure it does. Crop circles.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's what I heard an old Soviet general say on PBS after the Berlin Wall fell.
Yeah.
And that is the whole problem with us in the West is we blame things as coming from outer space.
Right.
And don't understand that our solutions are actually here on Earth.
Inner space. I agree with that. Jerry, always good to hear from you, pal.
Ciao.
All right, sir. Crop circles. We have become a crop circle. Before we take the break, have we got time? Play this soundbite. This is Bush yesterday towards the end of his speech on the USS Lincoln. I want you to hear this. I'm going to come back and reference it. So listen to this.
All of you, all in this generation of our military, have taken up the highest calling of history. You are defending your country and protecting the innocent from harm. And wherever you go, you carry a message of hope, a message that is ancient and ever new.
Here it comes.
In the words of the prophet Isaiah, to the captives come out, and to those in darkness be free. Thank you for serving our country and our cause. May God bless you all. And may God continue to bless America.
Now, what he said there, the reference to the message from the Bible, from the Old Testament, from the Jewish Bible, from the Jewish history, the prophet Isaiah. Now, trust me on this, truth seeker. I know most of you are way ahead of me here, but indulge me then. When Bush's handlers pick these various Bible verses, There are specific and focused reasons for doing so. Where it concerns the quotation from Isaiah, there was a very interesting thread on Democratic Underground today, so interesting that I'm going to post the link to it so you can examine it yourself when this program's over later on this evening. But coming back, I'm going to reference the discussion at Democratic Underground. And if this doesn't, I mean, this is way beyond the Planet X thing that seems to fixate me at times. This is really bizarre. Stick around. You don't want to miss this.
Will it buy you forgiveness? Do you think that it could? I think you will find when your death takes its toll. All the money you made will never buy back.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Quit smoking in 7 days? Now you can with Release HD, the all-natural homeopathic medicine now available without a prescription, designed to break your addiction to nicotine in just 7 days guaranteed. Listen to what internationally recognized Dr. Richard Cohen has to say about Release HD.
The beauty of the homeopathic medicine in the Release HD system is that it deals with the suffering, eases the withdrawal symptoms, and can take away the jitters. I strongly recommend Release HD to anyone who wants to quit smoking.
It's never too late to stop. The Release HD system goes to work immediately, stopping nicotine cravings, irritability, and withdrawals. Release HD is different from gums and patches because it works from the inside out, giving your body the nutrients it needs to break free. You can quit. Do it the easy way with Release HD.
Call Release HD now for your free trial offer. 1-800-519-5717 and quit smoking for good in 7 days guaranteed. Do it today with Release HD. 1-800-519-5717. That's 1-800-519-5717. Call now.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet.
We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HD TV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
No subliminal messages for you to misunderstimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
Democratic Underground, one of their forums today. I'll post the link. Here's what it says. This thing was put out here by one of the posters, Be Here Now. In his teleprompter read speech the other night, the cowboy king of the world delivered a message to the fundamental Christians and Zionists that probably has them swooning and speaking in tongues. It's very important, Be Here Now writes, to understand the reference. Now, that little quote from Bush, in the words of the prophet Isaiah, to the captives come out, and to those in darkness be free. Let's go to Isaiah 61, verse 1. I read from the book. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoner, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow upon them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. As Be Here Now writes, a Democratic Underground, what Bush did, he declared himself the same as Jesus. These are the same verses Jesus applies to himself in Nazareth in the New Testament. And what was Jesus referring to? His own second coming. In other words, George Bush on the deck of that aircraft carrier announced the second coming of Christ. And guess who it is? Be Here Now writes, there is so much reference here it is impossible to explain. I am freaking out. Other DU Christians, and I mean Christians, not nut jobs, do you hear me? If you know your Bibles, you're freaking out too. Play it again, Kathy. Okay, we'll play it for you again in a second. But what he said was, all of you in this generation of our military have taken up the highest calling of history. You're defending your country and protecting the innocent from harm. And wherever you go, you carry a message of hope, a message that is ancient and ever new. In the words of the prophet Isaiah, to the captives come out, and to those in darkness be free. Thank you for serving our country and our cause. May God bless you all, and may God continue to bless America. The 25th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution that allows the Congress to remove a president from office who becomes physically or mentally incapacitated? Is it not time, perhaps, for that?
Superstar, what is it that you have got that puts you where you are? I am waiting, yes, I'm a captive fan. I'm dying to be shown that you are not just any man. So if you are the Christ, yes, the great Jesus Christ.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Tensions are running high among immigrant workers from countries in Central America working in the United States on temporary visas, as tens, if not hundreds of thousands, may find out in a matter of days whether deportation is in their future. Some 347,000 Honduran, Nicaraguan, and Salvadoran workers are in the U.S. on temporary visas, and for many, those visas expire in July. The rest expire in September. The government could renew the visas, but it must announce its intent to do so at least 60 days before the visas expire. That gives the government until Monday to notify the workers, and so far, they've heard nothing.
Justice for janitors was the May Day rallying cry for workers around the U.S. yesterday. Tens of thousands of custodians saw their union contracts expire this week, and some could be headed to picket lines soon. The union representing 5,000 Silicon Valley janitors has set a strike date of May 17th. Because of stalled contract talks. And janitors in Portland, Oregon led a march of about 500 through their city. Although their old contract expired yesterday, union negotiator Marcia Suttenberg says there's enough progress being made at the bargaining table to merit a two-month contract extension.
We're totally happy if the contract just come to the table and offer our people decent wages and a benefit that they can will allow them to take their kids to the doctor. Damn, we've got a deal.
Janitor Felipe De Jesus rejects the notion that his employers can't afford to pay him a living wage and provide his family with health insurance.
They're saying they don't have enough money, but they're the ones hanging on to all the money and it doesn't come down on all the workers.
Portland's janitors hope to have a new deal hashed out by the end of June. Otherwise, they say they'll strike as a last resort.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
I said, oh, watch out, I ain't lying. Yeah, I ain't gonna take none of y'all fooling around. I ain't gonna take none of y'all.
26 before the hour, Gizmo is calling in, one of our fleet of over-the-road truckers driving near Ashland, Oregon. Hey, Gizmo.
Ashland, Oregon. Yeah, just coming down the big old long hill.
Well, good to hear from you.
Hey, listen, you remember when I told you that I was going to join that reality Survivor show, American Candidate, and run for president?
I do remember that.
Well, by golly, I shouldn't have said that on your show, because Carl Rove found out about it, and he pulled their funding.
And denied you your chance to be the next president of the United States. That is sad.
Yeah.
That is sad, Gizmo.
Yeah, I've got to call up all my snowball in hell chance constituencies and let them know that we're out of the race.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, that's how it goes. I'm going to personally have to pick a Democratic candidate now, and since I can't vote for myself if I'm not running. And you got any suggestions there?
I do. At this point, I I've got his website listed at my site. You can check him out, and that's Dennis Kucinich, I swear to God.
Cool. Is that an American name?
Kucinich? I think it's Eastern European. His family's an immigrant, immigrants, like most of us, I guess. But... You know,
hey, listen,
who he is.
Mike,
you
is he,
know
is he,
who he is.
Is he a veteran?
Kucinich, I don't know. I have no idea.
I'm getting so tired of having to vote for Democratic candidates that aren't veterans. You know, that's one of my big things. Is that, you know, we got this moron in chief right now who would like to think he's a veteran, but you know, he went AWOL.
Yeah.
And. But I have heard Kucinich. I was pulling your leg. I listened to Kucinich during the...
I know.
During that time when they were announcing their candidacies, and I like what he had to say, and he's actually got a set of kahunas to stand up and say what he says. So, no, I'm on your boat with him, and I think I'll just take all of my snowball in hell constituency and ask them to vote for him.
There you go. And don't forget to send him $10 or $20. The man needs money. I swear, I would not be surprised if you and I, Gizmo, and you and I live close to the edge, I understand that, but I wouldn't be surprised if you and I have more in our combined just personal checking accounts than Dennis Kucinich has for his campaign at this point. Now, it's got to change. It's got to change. People have got to support him or forget about him. One of the two. We can't just sit back and say, well, yeah, I think Dennis Kucinich. We've got to support him and see what happens. He's going to be steamrollered. I'm telling you, this man is going to be steamrollered.
I know he is. And he's got some big guns coming at him. So,
oh, dear God.
But listen, in one of my flight of fantasies, when I was dreaming about winning the American candidate debate,
yeah.
I thought that in the final segment there, I'd stand on stage and I would say, all of you who are going to vote for me, now I want you to vote for Kucinich. Because I really wouldn't run, you know.
That would have been a hoot.
Yeah, that would have been. Okay, Mike, well, I'm listening to you still, man. I have trouble staying up till midnight Eastern time, but I fight to keep my eyes open.
Hey, if you're an Ashland, Oregon pal, it's not even 9 o'clock at night yet, so don't try to scam me.
Okay.
Thanks,
I love your show. I'll keep listening.
Thanks, Gizmo. Drive safely.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, sir. Nancy is calling from East Tennessee. Hey, Nancy.
Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
Well, as well as could be expected.
Yeah, we're good.
I know I've been holding for a while, so what you were talking about before the last break and Bush and his little speech and his being sent by God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That is really spooky stuff.
Well,
you know, but I mean, I've been pretty much freaking out since December of 2000.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah. I kind of, you know, nothing surprises me about what these people do. You know, a lot of people think that Bush is the Antichrist. Well, I think he may be like a bad prototype of the Antichrist. But I expect the Antichrist to be more clever and have more finesse. Right. I think Bush is just a weak, small-minded little man that's being controlled by some really evil people.
Well, yeah. You know,
both in the religiously insane,
right,
and the religiously greedy.
But remember, Bush has about 7,000 nuclear warheads.
True.
And that,
which is pretty, well, I mean, you know, okay, if he was sent by God,
yeah,
it's a wake-up call for all of us on how not to do it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
whether it be the environment, whether it be, you know,
everything,
whether it be
everything. Right.
You know, I mean, he's like the prime example of what not to do.
If you want to be a human being.
If you want to be human and you want to survive.
I hear you.
You know, on the planet.
I hear you, Nancy.
And I don't get it. You know, these polls. I just can't watch TV anymore.
Good for you.
You know, it's like, okay, he's at 70%. But then you ask, and 80% say they don't trust him on the economy.
Uh-huh.
So how can he have 70% approval? 52% didn't vote for him. How can he have 70% approval? You think that many people said, you know what? So what? He stole the election. You know what? The boy is doing a good job.
Yeah, well...
I just don't buy it.
That's not beyond the realm of possibility, though. Don't forget, Nancy, we Americans are not the most politically awake group of people on the planet.
No, we're numb. I mean, most of us are just, you know, going through life with our heads in the sand. I mean, nobody's paying attention. I would imagine there was a time in Germany...
Yeah.
You know, when the good, decent people of Germany were just going along thinking everything was just hunky-dory, you know?
Bingo.
And then one day...
Bingo.
Ouch.
Thanks for checking in, Nancy.
Okay.
All right, you have a nice evening. Let me just clarify that no offense to real Christians out there. I'm not talking about the wacko religiously insane. I'm talking about real Christians, or real followers of the teachings of the man from Nazareth. No offense intended here, but you know, I do not subscribe to that belief. Sanctity or the God thing or the Son of God or the daughter of God. I respect all religions. I really do. In their basic formats, the people who appoint themselves as explainers of those religions, to me, for the most part, if you look at the history of the planet, are truly, really, ritualistically mad. And as I said before, this planet is waist deep in blood because of their madness, whether they are Hindu, Christian, Muslim, you know, whatever. Let's face it, that's the truth. So all this talk about Christ and Antichrist and stuff like that, to me, it is weird, bizarre mythology of a certain bent. It you know, the whole evil and good. I'm sorry, I do not subscribe to it. I don't. I mean the cataclysmic battles raging through the universe between the forces of good and the forces of evil. No, I just don't. And as far as religious superstitions or theologies or mythologies or whatever you want to call it, no, I don't. I find it very interesting. I think there have been avatars of some undefinable concept of Godhead who have had some very important messages to say, whether they are Muhammad or the Buddha or Christ or Martin Luther King Jr., or Einstein, or Schweitzer. There have been people who seemed to be on a higher mental plane than most of us, and they've had some very important messages for us. But as far as the religiosity of it all, I reject it totally and thoroughly. And for the good Christians out there, the true Christians, if you want to pray for me, go ahead. If you're a Muslim, you want to play, go ahead. You know, that's fine. But I don't subscribe to any of it. I really don't. And for some of these really wigged out, freaked out, insane people who promote their religious ideology, I wish there was a moment after the moment of death where consciousness retained for just a second, or a millisecond, or a nanosecond, so that these religiously insane freaks could, in a sense, stare into the void, you know, before everything just switched off, and see that what they had slaughtered millions for didn't exist. Now, that's impossible, of course. The ego has to have there has to be a frame of reference. Right? But the whole idea of religion to me is just the ego saying, oh, no, my ass ain't going to die. No, 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 no. And here's why. Okay. Now, I want to play just a quick soundbite for you. This is Bush. Was it today, Kathy? Yeah. Speaking to yet another bunch of defense workers. See, he goes from the military that he is abusing, disrespecting, lifting his leg and pissing on, to defense workers who he is abusing, disrespecting, and lifting his leg and pissing on. This time it's the employees of United Defense Industries in Santa Clara, California, who are about to be laid off. Now, supposedly, Bush is there to talk about the economy, but of course he's got to cram in a little chest thumping about Iraq. He sounds a little drunk to me in this soundbite. Maybe he snuck some of that Lone Star beer onto the USS Lincoln, or maybe, you know, maybe on Air Force One or whatever. But here he is. Bear with me. You got to hear this.
As a result of the bravery and skill of our armed forces and coalition forces, the war on terror is much longer down the road because of what happened in Iraq.
What?
You see?
Yeah.
The Al Qaeda no longer have a
ally
in the regime in Iraq.
Yeah, right.
Terrorists no longer have a funding source in the regime of Iraq. One thing is certain, terrorists will no longer have a source of weapons of mass destruction in the regime that used to be in Iraq, because the regime that used to be in Iraq is no longer.
Oh, my God. Your weapons of mass destruction regime that used to be in Iraq, because the regime that used to be in Iraq is just no longer. Somebody give me a beer. Good God. The weapons of mass destruction. The weapons.
As a result of the bravery and skill of our armed forces and coalition forces, the war on terror is much longer down the road because of what happened in Iraq. You see, the Al Qaeda no longer have an ally in the regime in Iraq.
Yeah.
terrorists no longer have a funding source in the regime of Iraq.
Yeah.
One thing is certain, terrorists will no longer have a source of weapons of mass destruction in the regime that used to be in Iraq, because the regime that used to be in Iraq is no longer.
Oh, my God. Regime used to be in Iraq.
An advisor to British Prime Minister Tony Blair, Sir Jonathan Porritt, head of the Sustainable Development Commission, said the U.S. and the U.K. went to war against Iraq because of the Middle East country's oil reserves. This is reported by Bloomberg.com, you know, the business site. Sir Jonathan, head of the Sustainable Development Commission, which advises Blair's government on ecological issues, said the prospect of winning access to Iraqi oil was, quote, a very large factor, unquote, in the Allies' decision to attack Iraq in March. Sir Jonathan said in a Sky News television interview, quote, I don't think the war would have happened if Iraq didn't have the second largest oil reserves in the world, end quote. Marge is calling from Maryville, Indiana. Hey, Marge.
Hello there.
Hi, Marge.
It's Captain Quig.
Right. And it was the strawberries. It was the strawberries.
It's the weapons of mass destruction. It's the oil. It's the terrorism. It's the strawberries. I know they took them.
They took my strawberries. The evil bastards took my strawberries.
Karl Rove is P.T. Barnum. He thinks there's a sucker born every minute.
A what born every minute?
Sucker.
Sucker with an S. Okay.
With an S.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, the Caine Mutiny was a great movie. It ought to be played over and over and over again, especially now.
Oh, God. Every time I hear him talk, I can see Humphrey Bogart sitting there toying with those ball bearings.
Listen to this, Marge. ExxonMobil, the world's largest privately owned oil group, celebrated May Day yesterday by reporting the largest quarterly corporate profits in history, $7.04 billion. Okay, wait, one more. There's one more here. BP, British Petroleum, announced its biggest ever profit bonanza yesterday, making $3.7 billion in the first quarter of the year, or $41 million a day.
And what are you paying for a gallon of gas at your local station?
Oh, well, listen, it doesn't
work that way, huh?
It doesn't matter. The rewards are already coming in. ExxonMobil and BP. Massive. That's what this is about, Marge. This is about free enterprise. It's about democracy. This is about global markets. This is about justice and freedom in the American way. Marge, please.
And I'll throw one other thing out there for you, a carryover from Greg Palast's book.
Yeah.
I just heard yesterday that was IMF or World Bank, required that Pakistan lay off 70,000 workers in the utilities or whatever, so that they would qualify for a bank loan. does not the people of the United States realize that this same principle is being applied to us?
Thanks, Marge.
Oh, my God.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about Verbal Advantage, call now.
1-800-444-1984. That's 444-1984. 1-800-444-1984.
Are you wondering how to prosper in our so-called muddle-through economy? Experts say that gold is now the buy of a generation. Hi, I'm Christopher Kent, host of Antique Talk, and I'd like to introduce you to Swiss America, the company that's helping America to rediscover gold. Now, I'm no expert on the economy or on gold, but I am an expert on antiques and collectibles. And Swiss America is the leader in the United States collectible coin market, which has a very impressive track record over the past 30 years. But before you launch out into rare coins, the first step is to get educated. So please, write this number down, 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's BUYCOIN. Ask for a free copy of The New Gold Rush. It'll help you understand this emerging gold rush so you can stake your claim and tell them Christopher Kent told you to call.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by with good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
You know, it'll take time to restore chaos and order, but we will.
Oh my God. My senior correspondent in Minnesota is up rather late this evening, but he sends in this. I have no problem with Bush thinking, wishing, hoping he is the second coming of Christ. Let's indulge the boy king, so long as it all ends the same way. I'll get the spikes, if you get the hammer, if Matt gets the thorny crown, if Gizmo gets the cross, if Marge picks out the hill, and no tickets will be sold to the resurrection because there ain't going to be one. Knock, knock. Who's there? FBI, open up. I just got to hear that again. Can I hear that again, please? Ah, turn it up a little bit, Kathy. Okay, cut the music. Weird, weird in here tonight. I swear it is. Angelo is calling from Santa Fe. Hey, Angelo.
How's it going, Michael?
It's going, dude.
Hey, right on. Okay, let me start off by explaining myself.
Okay, but you only have a minute.
Oh, I only have a minute. Okay, I'll start right away. Okay. I watch TV a lot, okay?
Yeah.
I know there's other facts behind what's going on, but I know there's more going to happen, more military action around the world, because I watch TV and I read magazines and watch movies
right.
at the theaters, and there's always Army, commercials.
Sure.
Everywhere.
Sure.
It's like they're desperate.
Keep the economy in shambles. Have lots of 19 and 18 and 20-year-olds who can't find a job, who cannot afford education, and it's a huge funnel, Angelo. They all come marching into the recruitment offices, and they go to Fort Jackson and Fort Stewart and Fort Benning, and they just march, and they go on, and they get on the ships and the planes, and they go, and they fight, and they die. You understand how it works, Bell.
More than before. I mean, it's right after September 11th. I mean, I've just never seen so many, And I always watch commercials and I laugh.
Angelo?
But I just see so many. Yes.
We're out of time, Bell.
Oh, man. Okay.
I'm sorry. Call back Monday night. We'll chat.
I will.
All right, sir. Thanks for checking in. Program engineered in Detroit tonight by Stephanie Stryker. Many thanks to Jim in Arkansas for all the music. Produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces. My name's Mike Malloy. Have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday. I hope. Take care. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS. The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. The 22-year-old Abilene, Texas man who gained national attention after rescuing four children from a fire only to be arrested is now free on bond. Chris Leija was arrested after he appeared on a number of news programs. He was charged with failing to meet scheduled appointments with his probation officer and for failing to wear an ankle monitor. Leija was originally arrested on charges of burglarizing the Abilene High School back in July. Now free on $3,000 bond, Leija has been ordered to wear a new electronic monitor and report weekly to the probation office. A group of scientists is getting ready to pick up more experiments found in the wreckage of the space shuttle Columbia. California-based Planetary Society Executive Director Lewis Friedman says they're expecting to open up a specially designed box Monday at the Kennedy Space Center and find that their experiment to study how bacteria travels from planet to planet is still intact. Friedman says investigators are planning to keep the box the experiment came in for their probe into the shuttle crash. The Planetary Society experiment is one of a number of projects found in the wreckage of Columbia, including thousands of worms.